shoulder each time. And also some new faces too, as you know, God grows his kingdom here at Hurstville Grove. Now I'm going to be sort of weaving updates about what God's been doing in EU Focus. Although looking out, I see some of you are actually in the EU here, and so we'll probably know a little bit about what's been happening. So on the next slide, I'll be weaving them in as we sort of consider Revelation 7 together. I've used the slide template that we use for our Thursday night come home dinner meetings. Now, please don't scan the QR code and fill in the form. Otherwise, you know, some of our leaders might get a bit confused about why people are checking in on a Sunday night. This is the kind of what the students in EU Focus have put together, the kind of aesthetic that the international students enjoy together. But we are kind of looking at Revelation 7 in this final week in your Global Missions Month. So to get into that, let me start with a question, which is on the next slide. What on earth is God doing? What on earth is God doing? Maybe you find yourself asking that, perhaps just, silently to yourself, or maybe out loud even sometimes. What on earth is God doing? As we see what's happening in the world, as maybe you think, well, things just seem out of control out there in the world, or maybe even closer to home in your own life, in your own heart. What on earth is God doing? Well, this passage from Revelation 7, from John's apocalypse, that's what Revelation is, it's an apocalypse. Now, not in the sense of, zombies and kind of the end of the world, that kind of disaster film, but an unveiling, if you like, and that's what an apocalypse is. It's as if God here is drawing back the curtains on the real nature of reality, of what is really real, and showing John, what really is going on. And so here in chapter 7, in this vision, God gives, he gives John a picture of what on earth God is doing. He gives John a picture of what purposes he's bringing about in this world, what he's moving the world towards. If you like, it's a bit like God's vision statement. It's a vision statement which involves both the big picture, kind of that massive crowd that's pictured for us, and yet also intimate relationship as well. As we hear in that last image, God wiping away the tears from all of our eyes. So what is this vision? Well, on the next slide, this is my kind of summary of it, that God is gathering a multi-ethnic multitude of cleansed people around Jesus, their Savior's throne, sheltered in his loving presence. That's what God's doing. This is the climax, it's the end of the whole Bible story, actually, which is the story of God and his people, God and his Son. And in the end, it's the story of us all. So first tonight, point one, a multi-ethnic multitude of cleansed people gathered around Jesus, their Savior's throne. So on the next slide, here, this is what God reveals to John in verses 9 and 10, which will come up on the screen too. After this I looked, writes John, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Can you see it? Can you imagine a massive crowd made up of people from every nation on earth? So Bolivians next to Botswanans, Chinese behind Chileans, French in front of Fijians, indigenous people with migrants, refugees alongside citizens. people from every nation, every tribe, every language group and people group on earth gathered around Jesus' throne. But they're not just a multi-ethnic multitude. They're a multi-ethnic multitude of cleansed people. In verse 9 there, they're wearing white robes. And later on in verse 14, on the next slide, in that rather strange conversation that John has with one of the elders, we learn who they are. The elder says, "These are they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." They're people for whom all the muck and filth of sin has been washed clean. There's no stain or blemish of guilt or shame left on them at all. They're white, pure and cleansed in the blood of Jesus. It's the wonderful gospel story that many of us have come to know. Now, obviously, this doesn't make sense at a surface level. I mean, how could it? I think there are still nappy sand ads happening. And you might have seen this, you know, the ones where they kind of wash out a stubborn stain and show how powerful nappy sand can be. But you'll never see a nappy sand ad where someone's trying to wash out, you know, like a dirt stain, a stubborn stain from a white shirt, by washing it in blood, will you? That will just make it more dirty. But such is the cleansing, healing, purifying power of Jesus' blood, the Lamb who was slain for us, that he washes us clean. As John Donne, who was like, I think, a 17th century English poet, I put it in one of his holy sonnets. We had to study this at school. Just the last two lines there, he writes, "Or wash thee in Christ's blood, which hath this might, that being red, it dyes red souls to white." Jesus' blood really does wash us clean. And so well might then this cleansed multi-ethnic crowd cry out in praise of Jesus in all their different languages. In verse 10, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." God's gathering a multi-ethnic multitude of cleansed people around Jesus, their Savior's throne. And thanks to your partnership in the gospel, and thanks to our partnership together through your prayers and giving, we saw this happen even at Ancon this year. Now, ANCON is our mid-year conference that the EU runs. I think some of you here were there. It's great to see Sophie leading us in worship again tonight, as she did at ANCON. Now, this year, two international students were cleansed by the blood of Jesus as they put their trust in him. On the next slide, I've got a picture here of part of the EU focus group. So Samantha here, she's the one in the middle, in the front row, just standing behind that cake. Because that cake was that group celebrating her new birth into Christ. And as Samantha was persuaded to come back actually a week early from Hong Kong, where she'd gone home for the holidays, so that she could attend ANCON. Now on the Tuesday night of that conference, after hearing about God's holiness earlier in the day from Isaiah 6, and our need for our sin to be atoned for. After the evening service, evening talk that night, Samantha prayed with one of our staff workers, Chim, who was also from Hong Kong. She prayed to start trusting in Jesus. And it was a delight to see not just how overjoyed Samantha and her, particularly her Hong Kong friends were, including her roommate there, but also Annie, the Howie, the ministry apprentice, who'd given that talk on Isaiah 6. She was just deeply moved as God was working through her as she'd given that talk. And, you know, it was all made possible because some friends in EU Focus agreed to pay the extra money so that Samantha could change her plane ticket, so that she could be there at Ancon. Tony was another student. I don't have a picture of him, but he's been living with some Christian relatives here in Sydney while he's been studying at Sydney Uni. And he was keenly reading the Bible across semester one with Annie and a student, Jackie. And he was keen to come to Ancon and was wrestling all week with both the English and just what he was hearing from the story in the Bible. But he had a growing conviction that there really was truth about God here. On the Thursday night at dinner, one of the other Howies, ministry apprentices, Rowan, who'd been leading an exploring Christianity strand with him in it, was patiently just encouraging him that he could, actually if he wanted to, he could even now start following Jesus. And then finally on the Friday morning, he was chatting with Chim again and praying in Chinese as well, getting some more questions answered. And he prayed in Chinese to start following Jesus. And it was a great joy for the whole EU Focus family there to sing happy birthday to him, to mark his new birth into a living hope in the resurrected Jesus. And we see this each Thursday night, actually, in the next slide, at come-home dinners like this, where there's up to 80 students from all the nations at Sydney Uni gathered to hear God's word together, sing God's praises, and to enjoy fellowship together over dinner. Sometimes as I'm just wandering amongst the tables, I might hear English over here, people discussing and asking really great questions of a Bible passage on this table in English, and then there might be Mandarin over there and Cantonese up there. And occasionally last semester we had a student from South America as well, so there's a bit of Spanish going on as well. So it's a real picture each Thursday night of this picture in Revelation 7 of people from all nations gathered around Jesus' throne, praising him for salvation. And Ancon really did give us a great deep experience of God's word and fellowship together that's helped us launch into semester two and reach out to more international students on campus. Now, this semester actually is the first one where every student has to be present on campus in person. Previously, with the effects of COVID, a lot of students have been studying online from overseas. But now they're all back, and there's 30,000 international students at Sydney Uni. 30,000, like the size of a small town, really. Or a not-so-small town, I suppose. And because they're all here on campus now, there is a real atmosphere of openness. So please do keep praying that God would give us all the wisdom and love, the courage and boldness that we need to make the most of this door that he's opened for Jesus' gospel. And thank you once again for your giving and prayers that enable me to be on campus. But God's gathering this multi-ethnic multitude of cleansed people around Jesus, their Savior's throne. And if we go forward a few more slides, point two, they're sheltered in his loving presence. From verse 15, they're before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. As much as this is a vast vision, that huge crowd that no one can even count, it's also an intimate picture of God's shelter, protection, and provision. Especially that final image of our mighty and great God bending down and gently, tenderly, lovingly, just wiping away the tears from our faces. Yes, we serve him, but our God is a God who lovingly, tenderly provides all our needs. God's gathering a multi-ethnic multitude of cleansed people around Jesus, their Savior's throne, sheltered in his loving presence. And in EU Focus, we see glimpses of this in the loving community that exists amongst students. As we, God's people, loved by Jesus, share that love with others. Now, each week, our Bible study groups, this is one of my Bible study groups from last semester. Each week, we often begin with two questions, just to reflect on the week. The first is, you know, what's something that you're thankful for? And the second is, what's a need you have that we can pray about? And sometimes, you know, in our groups, we think, oh, well, are there ways that we can meet some of those needs for one another? So I'll give you an example. Last year, I had a Taiwanese student in first year in one of my groups, and she shared one week that she was having trouble getting her groceries from the Broadway Shopping Center back up to the student accommodation where she was living in the Queen Mary building, which is near RPA Hospital. You know, our group sort of thought about it, and we ended up giving her, Sean and I had one of those, you know, those trolleys that maybe sort of our more senior citizens often use, that kind of trundle around. We had one lying around at home, and so I sort of cleaned it up a bit, and we were able to give that to this Taiwanese student, Christina, in order to meet that need. Sometimes some of us who have cars might help students who need to move house during semester. And towards the end of last semester, I learned that one student had, you know, very sadly, had both his e-bike and his e-scooter stolen from where he lived. So he was sort of without transport for a little while. And we had sort of picked up a bike from the side of the road. So some neighbors were getting rid of it and cleaned it up, you know, pumped up the tires a bit. And we weren't really using it, so I ended up giving that to that student as well so he could get around a little bit. Or another way is, as we walk around campus meeting new students, we often, I don't know if you thought about this, but as followers of Jesus, we have the wonderful privilege of connecting people, blessing people by connecting them with the God of the universe, the God who created them and loves them, who knows their needs and can meet their needs with his power. So we often offer prayer for people. And it's quite moving to hear students speak of their loneliness studying here, away from family and friends, or the pressure of their family's expectations on them, and the challenges just of studying in a foreign culture, in a foreign language. So it's wonderful to be able to bless them by praying for them and with them, to give them a glimpse of the shelter of God's loving protection. Last semester, I was doing this with a couple of other staff, and one student was so moved. It was the first time he'd ever prayed, a student from China, that at the end, he ended up taking a selfie with us just to kind of remember the moment. But that's what we can do as followers of Jesus. We can connect people with the God of the universe. Last semester also, a couple of EUers, I think it was a student and a Howie, one of the ministry apprentices, they were doing, you know, what we call walk-up, just going around trying to meet people, and they met a Chinese student named Eric, and in the conversation they got to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus with him. Then the very next day, Eric was met by two other Christians, not from the EU, but from Power to Change, to one of the other Christian groups on campus that were quite friendly with and sometimes work together with. Eric was listening to them also share the gospel with him. And he said to them, "Hey, I met two people yesterday who just told me the same thing." And when I heard that, I was like, oh, that's great. Like, it's good to know we're on the same page as our brothers and sisters in Power to Change. We're preaching the same gospel. Now, Eric concluded that God must be trying to tell him something. He's met two different pairs of people on consecutive days who told him the same message. So he started investigating Jesus really seriously And then just about 2 months ago, Eric started following Jesus. This is him here at Ancon. But even before Ancon, he'd gone to Power to Change's winter conference, which was like 2 weeks before Ancon. So super keen. And now he's actually part of our Go team, which is this. There's only about 7 students have signed up for this across 2 teams. And they're committed to spending about 5 hours a week at least supporting and praying for one another together to reach out to particularly international students we haven't met yet. And it's wonderful just hearing Jesus as he meets Chinese students who, you know, often say, oh, I don't really have religion. Well, he can just say to them, look, I was just like you 2 months ago. I didn't really have a religion. But then I met Jesus. And he can testify to how Jesus has changed his life. And he can also testify to the blessing of God's loving, sheltering presence in his life. God's gathering a multi-ethnic multitude of cleansed people around Jesus, their Savior's throne, sheltered in his loving presence. So thank you once again for your vital and joyful partnership in the gospel. Thank you for your prayers and giving, which enable me to be on campus, trying to help God's people in the EU make the most of this opportunity that the 30,000 international students have to hear Jesus' gospel while they're here. Thank you so much for your joyful gospel partnership. And just to give you a bit of an update, thanks to your giving and other Christians, I'm on track this year to meet my financial support target for this year. However, going forward, please do be praying for, there's about a $9,000 per annum gap in my regular ongoing support that's needed to keep me on campus going forwards. Please keep giving and keep praying. And do please prayerfully consider whether you might be able to begin or increase giving towards that particular need. Well, what on earth is God doing? On the next slide, God's gathering, as we've seen, a multi-ethnic multitude of cleansed people around Jesus, their Savior's throne, sheltered in his loving presence. Are you on board? Are you on board with God's vision? Well, clearly you are on board in many ways. You're having Global Missions Month. You have, I'm just one of 5 linked missionaries that you're praying for and giving towards so that God's mission can continue around the world. So please, yes, keep praying and keep giving. But I wonder, are there opportunities that you could consider in here in Hurstville Grove, in your neighbourhood? I was looking at some census data, and in the Hurstville Grove, Oatley area in 2021, around 37% of households speak languages other than English at home. And that proportion is slowly increasing. Back in 2011, it was 31%. So it's wonderful to see that there are English classes happening here, that you have bilingual Bibles available, particularly for people in the morning service. So it's great that you have these things. You're reaching out in love, helping to meet those needs, showing God's sheltering, loving presence by providing that friendly, safe community for people to learn and practice their English. But I wonder if there are other opportunities that you could consider taking up. Are there ways that you could share the cleansing love of Christ that we've experienced by God's grace with those from the nations in your neighbourhood? Or could you invite a neighbour, perhaps from on your street, from another culture? Or perhaps someone you might meet through the school communities or at uni over for a meal? And during that, you share that you're a part of St. Aidan's here. And maybe you could invite them to come along on Sunday with you, or perhaps to the next movie night that you have. You might be surprised at how willing people are to kind of, you know, if they've come here from another nation or culture, to see what it's like inside a kind of Australian's household, or to get to know what it's like in a church. Maybe they're just waiting for your invitation to find out. One of my colleagues, a woman named Karen, she lives up in the suburbs as well, but up in Thornlea with her husband Tim and their three girls. Now, she's gotten to know a neighbour from China over the last couple of years and invited her over for a meal and been invited back to her place and met the wider family. And she's been able, through that relationship over time, to share some Bible stories, to read a bit of the Bible with her and some of her family as well. And also through their school community, through Lydia, who's in year two, their eldest girl, they've invited another family, I think from a South Asian, like Indian or Nepali background, along to their church, Thornlea Community Baptist Church. And to kind of support that and to pray through that, she meets online with a friend from church each week for just half an hour, I think first thing in the morning, one day a week, to pray for the friends they're trying to reach out to, that God might have mercy on them. Because what on earth is God doing? Well, God's gathering that multi-ethnic multitude of cleansed people around Jesus, their Savior's throne, sheltered in his loving presence. People like Samantha, Tony and Eric, students from the nations at Sydney University, but also people here in Hurstville Grove, in the English class, maybe some of your neighbours and friends. So let's keep working together as partners in the gospel of Jesus, with all the strength that God gives us, to make the most of the opportunities that he provides, to see more and more people gathered into that multi-ethnic multitude of cleansed people around Jesus, our Saviour's throne, sheltered in his loving presence. Please join with me in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that it's his blood that he shed as he died on the cross for us. His blood washes us clean of all our sins, of all our guilt and shame. And we praise and thank you that you are gathering people from all nations around his throne, cleansed in his blood, and worshipping and praising him now with us for all eternity at that last day. Father, thank you for our partnership in the gospel. And we pray that we might keep working and praying and giving so that more and more people from the nations, international students at Sydney Uni, those in our neighbourhoods, on our streets, in our communities, so that more and more may hear of the Lord Jesus and come to put their faith in him and be cleansed of their sin, their guilt and their shame by his blood, and join us praising him for all eternity, gathered round his throne. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, thank you once again. Yeah, please come up. Thanks for the opportunity, for listening. And I will be sticking around for a bit after the service. I've got some prayer cards here if you'd like to grab one of them from me. I don't have a heap, so if you do want one, maybe get in fast. Okay, thanks a lot.